Take your Bibles, if you will, and go with me, please, to the book of Psalms. To the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. I'm going to start a new series today. And I pray that you are going to have as much fun with this series as I am. I believe that the Lord's got something to teach all of us, including your pastor. And I'm excited about seeing what it is that God wants to show me. Psalm 119, longest psalm in the Bible. Psalm 119. You ever heard the decision that says more than anything else, if at first you don't know what you're doing, pull out the instruction manual? How many times does that seem to be the last book that any of us really do? One of the most misused books, I am convinced, probably one of the most wasted bit of money that you'll find is instruction manuals. I bought something new this week and opened up the box and took the plastic out and set it up and began to push buttons when there was a book, how to set it up. How many of us do that? And then after I realized a couple things didn't happen after I pushed the buttons, I said, oh, that's what this book is for. And I got it out and started looking at it. Instructional manuals, they are just something that we don't seem to want to look at. How many of us picked up bottles and of aspirins or whatever it is, and how many of us read the instructions on the label? Now, I must admit, I got to be honest with you, there are some things that are pretty stupid when you look at them. I discovered some of these this week, and I'm going to try, if I can, to show those to you because I think they're very, very interesting. How many of you own a hairdryer at home? Hold your hand up. How many of you have ever read the instruction manual for the hairdryer? Do you know what appears on some of the hair dryers today? Here's what it says. Do not use while sleeping. Wow. I'm glad I got the book out for that one. Aren't you? Wow. Look at this one. I thought this one was interesting. In case you don't know what that is, right at dinner time, probably, you remember those Swanson dinners or those banquet dinners? Now, my mom was big on that, but that's a big day when we come home and we knew we were getting banquet dinners, you know. Those days, back when I got them, you put them in a convention oven. Now you throw them in the microwave and instantly it comes. You have instructions on them. Look at them. Look what it says. Serving suggestion. Defrost. Wow. I'm glad I found. You ever ate one frozen? This one I really like. I'm probably going to get in trouble over this one. I like that one. Lay's potato chips. Okay, you'll find this one on that and Fritos. They got a little promotion that's sometimes a sign that they put out there for you to look at. Look what it says. Now, I want you to figure this out. It says this. You could be a winner. No purchase necessary. Details inside. I'm going to go to the store and just rip open bags and say, listen, I don't have to buy those bags. Wait till I find the one that I'm the winner. That's the one I'll buy. Man, I couldn't believe it. Let me give you one more. I kind of thought this one was a good one too, okay? Those are Christmas lights, in case you don't know. We all just finished Christmas not long ago, and those are those new LED lights. I like this one. This appears on most of the boxes that you find. It says, for indoor and outdoor use only. Where else are you going to put them? No wonder we don't pay much attention to instructions that are given to us, because many times those manuals have a lot of interesting things for us that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and most of us ignore them. I think that's the way we are many times in our Christian life. I think we've got this idea that we know what to do, and we don't want to hear anyone else to tell me how to do it. Today, I want to begin sharing with you this series, and I want to begin to share with you what I'm going to call an instruction manual for Christians. An instruction manual for Christians. And we're going to walk through this, and I'm going to give you we're going to walk through about 8 chapters of this book, and we're going to talk about what it is that God wants us to do. Many times we as pastors are really guilty about saying, don't do this and don't do that and do this and do that, but we never tell you how to do it. I mean, there are basics to Christianity every single one of us know. But the question is, do you know how to do those basics? Have we ever taken time to say, how do I do that? Yes, Pastor, I want to do it. I have no problems. I agree with you 100%. But I'm kind of embarrassed if I ask, how do I do that? How do I do that? So that's what we're going to try to do for the next 8 weeks. We're going to try to walk through this one and see what it is that God would want to teach us in learning how I can do these things that we're going to do. Let me give you chapter 1, which we're going to deal with today. You saw it in your bulletin. It's called How to Read the Bible. How to Read the Bible. Now, I know, no doubt in my mind, that every one of you sitting here this morning, every one of you who is a child of God, every one of you who walk with the Lord, you know how important it is to read the Bible. You would agree with me 100%. You need to read the Bible. Every single one of us need to read the Bible. I tell you all the time, read it every day. I tell you all the time, make sure it becomes a part of your life. None of us should ever miss a day reading the Bible. We all agree with that. But have you ever asked yourself this question, how do I do it? How do I do it? All of us have tried so many different ways to read the Bible, but I'm going to give you what I believe are some simple instructions that can really help you change your Christian walk, change your Christian life, and to realize how important the Word of God is. Now, you know me as a pastor. You know how much I love this Word. You guys have known for the last 3 or 4 years how God has radically changed me in my understanding of this Word and this belief in this Word. You know how in the last couple years I have had you walk with me and talk with me about how to read this Bible. We read it all the time. I never preach a message in this church if it's not from the Word of God. I try so very hard to walk you through it. I have seen a tremendous increase of Bibles in this church in the last couple years that has just been, to me, powerful, powerful, powerful. And that's what I want you to understand. I read some interesting statements this week that I thought was pretty neat about how important the Bible was. Theodore Roosevelt, the great president, said this: a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. Did you hear that? He said a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. Patrick Henry said this: the Bible is worth all the other books which have ever been printed. A guy by the name of William Lyons Phelps said this: I thoroughly believe in a university education for both men and women, but I believe that the knowledge of the Bible without a college course is more valuable than a college course without a Bible. He said, I'd far rather you know the Bible than a college course, rather than to have a college course without a Bible. Let me give you one more. Woodrow Wilson, and I love this one. Here's what Woodrow Wilson said: I am sorry for men who do not read the Bible every day. I wonder why they deprive themselves of the strength and the pleasure of this great book. My friends, let me tell you something. There is no book like the Bible. There is not a book any more important in our lives than the Bible. It is especially important to the Christian because it is the source of our spiritual growth. It is the source of our spiritual guidance. It is the source of our spiritual godliness. It is the instruction manual on how we are to live once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. That is why I have chosen that in this first chapter of the instruction manual for Christians to talk about how to read the Bible. Now, I want you to start off, when you come back here now for these next 8 weeks, I want you to please bring with you a paper and a pencil. I want you to start taking notes. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on in this instruction manual. I've got a new thing now that I'm just thinking about. And I think, Miss Rachel, remember some time ago we did a sermon notebook. Remember that thing we did? I think some of you may remember that. And we just got a conviction about taking notes. I'm really thinking about that more and more. That's really coming on my heart. I give you the outline in the bulletin, and some of you write on it, but then your bulletin disappears. You know how I know that? You've missed signing up for events that you know nothing about. You know, oh, I forgot about that. It was in the bulletin. You know, so the bulletin may not. So I'm thinking about, how do we do this, God? Because I think what I want you to do these next 8 weeks is write down these ideas and these thoughts that God has laid upon my heart that I'm going to share with you to teach you how to become a greater Christian. You know how to become a Christian, accepting Christ as your Savior. You know that. You know to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and come into your life. He is the only one that can save you. We know that. Most of you sitting here are Christians. But how many of you are growing? How many of you are becoming mature? How many of you are learning more this year than you've ever learned before in your life. That's what I want to try to teach in the next 8 weeks, to teach you how to become the kind of Christian that God teaches to do. This may sound strange to you, and I'm sure that we're going to be some real basic things, but I'm talking about more than just opening the Bible, people. I'm talking about more than just reading a bunch of scriptures. I am thinking about what it really means to read the Bible. And I'm going to give you 3 suggestions that I'm convinced if you will put these as a practice into your Bible reading, they will change your life. What if I told you the most important message you'll ever hear this week is in the Bible? Not in a radio program, not in a TV program, not from your family and friends. The most important message you'll ever have spoken to you this week is in the Bible. Would it cause you to read the Bible? I believe that's exactly what God's about to do for us. Are you ready? Everybody got your Bible? I'll let you off this week without your notes, pens, and pencils. Bring them next week. Let's see what I can do. Hold it up. Let me see the Word. Get it up there. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you didn't come without your Bible this morning, there's some located in the chairs. Grab one of those. If you don't have one, take it home with you. Our gift to you. We'd be more than happy to give you the Bible. If you don't own a Bible, you don't have the money to buy the Bible, please hear me out, and I mean this with all my heart. Come see your pastor. I'll get you one. If you're a visitor, I don't care. I'll get you one. And I'm not going to give you some little tiny cheap one. I'll buy you a nice Bible. We believe in getting the Word of God in the hands of people. So if you need a Bible to finish out this series, to learn what God wants, you let me know, and I promise you, you will get a Bible. And then can I say this? And those of you who are missing your Bible, pick it up. It's in a coat room. You don't want me to read the names in there, do you? I read them on Monday and Tuesday. I read them. Oh, never mind. All right, let's go. Here we go. Let's get Psalm 119. The first thing I want to teach you about reading the Bible is that you must read the Bible prayerfully. You must read the Bible prayerfully. As you read the Word, as you approach the Word of God, my friends, it is important that you approach it with a prayerful attitude. We find that the psalmist makes a prayer, and this prayer is so important when he talks about the Word of God. You got it? Psalm 119. Jump with me, please, to verse 17. Verse 17. Listen to what he says. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. We sang this in the song. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. Now keep in mind, in the Old Testament, it refers to the law. It's the Word of God. The Word of God. They didn't have a Bible like we have today, but the law was the Word of God. Verse 19. I am a stranger in this earth. Please do not hide your commandments from me. The psalmist was praying, Lord, I need to hear from you. Open up my eyes that I may hear your word, that I may know what it is that you want me to do. My friends, I believe with all my heart when you and I read the Bible, one of the first things we need to do is that we need to pray. We need to say, Lord, it don't have to be a long prayer, but Lord, I'm asking you today, open up my eyes, open up my heart. Father, that as I open up this word, that God, you will speak to me today. That, Father, you will allow me to see something that I have never seen before. Father, please do not hide your word from me. I am about ready to open the most divine book that was ever written. God, teach me what I need to do. Why is it important, my friend, that we read the book prayerfully? Well, let me tell you why it's important. Number one, it is divinely inspired by God. It is divinely inspired by God. The Bible explains its origin in 2 Timothy. It says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. The word Scripture means holy and sacred writings. Identifying the Bible as Scripture sets it apart from all other writings. It is holy. It is sacred in nature. The word all indicates that every single word in here is holy, infallible. It is God speaking to you and I in written word. It is a book that the Bible says is given to us by the inspiration of God. The word inspiration is an interesting word. It literally means God breathed. It means that God breathing on those who wrote that so that you and I could read it and understand it and realize how powerful it is. Man was merely an instrument by which God breathed his word. Someone wrote this about the Bible, which I thought was fascinating. The authorship of this book, he said, is wonderful. Here are the words written by kings, by emperors, by princes, by poets, by philosophers, by fishermen, by statesmen, by men learned in wisdom of Egypt, educated in the schools of Babylon, trained at the feet of rabbis in Jerusalem. It was written by men in exile, in the desert, in shepherds' tents, in green pastures, beside the still waters. Among its authors we find fishermen, tax collectors, herdsmen, statesmen, preachers, gatherers of sycamore fruit, exiles, captains, legislators, judges, men of every grade and class. But what makes this book wonderful is its author was God. They may have been the writers. They may have been the one who penned the words, but it was God who spoke to them. I truly believe that every word that is written in this Bible, God gave to us. He may have used Paul to write these beautiful words. He may have used David to write these beautiful words. But my friends, it was God who spoke to Paul and David. It is divinely inspired. So then keep this mind. If you believe that to be true, then if it's divinely inspired, then it needs to be divinely interpreted. Now here's where a lot of people run into problems when trying to read the Bible. If I am to understand the word, then I need to allow the one who wrote it to help interpret it for me. Since God is the author, only God can give us the understanding of the Bible. He is the only one that could truly open up our eyes and allow us to behold the wonderful things of the Bible. That is why we need to prayerfully approach our reading. When it comes to understanding the Bible, we need a teacher, a divine teacher. You can have a PhD from Harvard or Yale and be absolutely ignorant when it comes to the Bible. It is a divinely inspired book that must have a divinely inspired teacher to show it to me. If there's any complaint I constantly hear people about the Bible is this: I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I've tried to read it. It makes no sense to me. Have you prayerfully asked God to reveal it to you? Now let me tell you this right now. If you're not a Christian here today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're not saved, I want to tell you something right now. You're not going to understand it. You're not going to understand it. The only way we understand it as Christians is because of the Holy Spirit living within us. It's not because I am smart. It is because He knows. And through the Spirit of God, He opens up the Word. Through the Spirit of God, I begin to hear what the Word has to say to me and you in a powerful way. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. When the psalmist asked that God would open his eyes, he was saying, Lord, let you teach me what I must know about your word. I love the words of Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon said this: do you wish to begin to be a true reader? Will you labor to understand? Then you must first of all get on your knees. You must be willing to cry to God for directions. You see, we've got this idea that reading this word is just something I sit down and do every day because I have to, because the preacher told me to. People, do you really understand that you need to open this word up every day to learn something from God? And the only way you could do that is prayerfully approach the word of God. Most of us pray after reading the word. How many of us pray before reading the word? How many of us take time? If you really want to learn, now listen. Listen, I'm going to tell you this right off the bat. These next 8 weeks is not going to be easy. This instruction manual that God's given me, I'm going to tell you this right now, is not going to be easy stuff to do. It's just not going to be something that's just going to take a minute and you're done. My friends, I'm talking about this as going to take work to study the Word of God. It is amazing to me how people do not want to take the time. We did New Hope Life Institute for two semesters this past week. And if there was a one question that I got asked the most by people about this New Hope Life Institute, and the whole purpose of New Hope Life Institute for us was to help us to learn the Bible, to learn doctrine, to learn things about the church, to understand how to be a teenage parent, to help our young people to learn how to be disciples, you know, to get our children to understand the characters of the Bible, you know, and just there was so many different classes we studied, prophecy, we had all kinds of neat things, the book of Peter. The question I got asked so many times about those classes, does it involve work? I got asked that all the time. Does it involve work? What's that got to do with it? If anything is good, it involves work. But people today don't want to labor to understand what God has to say. Pray, pray, pray before you read the Word. Secondly, if you're going to read the Word, you must read the Bible thoughtfully. You must read the Bible thoughtfully. When it comes to reading the Bible, there's no set way to read it. I'm not going to give you a plan. I'm not going to hand out to you today some kind of order that I want you to do. You just have to adopt a method that best benefits you. What you may find powerful for you in reading the Bible may be different than what I find powerful from reading your Bible. But my friends, I'm just here to say to you, read it. For example, you've heard me say this over and over and over again and have been criticized for it because there's many, many other pastors who totally differ with me, and there's a lot of other programs who totally differ with me, but I have just a conviction about this. You know I am not a pastor who 100% supports reading through the Bible in a year. Then that program came out, man, it has been adopted, and it has been something that has been done by many, many, many people. I am proud of you that you've read through the Bible in a year. But you have heard me say, to read the Bible in a year, you've got to read 4 or 5 chapters a day to get it complete. And the thing that bothers me so much, you have accomplished 4 or 5 chapters and learned absolutely nothing. You've just read the Word. The Word did not speak to you. The Word didn't turn you on. The Word didn't transform you. The Word didn't change you. Now, if you want to read it through a year and you can get something out of it for a year, go for it. What I'm saying to you, I'm more impressed the fact that you told me you read 4 or 5 verses and God changed your life, because that's what the Bible is all about. Let God give you a goal in your life that you can do. Set a simple goal. Let me give you a real simple goal. Simple goal that says this. You know what? This week, starting today, we've already accomplished it for you today, so I can go with it tomorrow. I'm going to read the Bible every day this week. And I ask you, make the commitment to read it every day all year. I didn't say you do that. I said, make a commitment to do it this week, between now and next Sunday, that you're going to read the Bible every day. You say, well, Pastor Bill, what am I going to read? We got stuff out there, Daily Bread. You can go online and have your computer can pop up and give you some scriptures to read. I mean, don't tell me you can't get something. It's everywhere you go. There's something out there that will tell you how to read your Bible every day. Start off in a particular book. If you haven't read the Bible much, start out with the book of John. Make a determination to read John, a chapter a day, 5 verses a day. And start right there in the book of John. Start somewhere. But make a commitment to read your Bible. Many of you are in Sunday school class. Do you have your Sunday school book? It bothers Curtis and I all the time when we walk into Sunday school classrooms and see a stack of books laying there on the desk that no one's picked up. They not read. You want to read the scripture? Read your Sunday school lesson. It's got the part that you're supposed to be studying this week. Make it that you read a half of it and the other half of it where you've at least read the scripture. There are so many ways in which we can read the Word, but read it thoughtfully. You have to think about it. You have to put some effort into it. Look at Psalm 119, verse 15. Psalm 119, verse 15 again, and listen to what he says. I meditate on your precepts and I contemplate your ways. What in the world is he saying using all those big words? Here's what he's saying. He said, I thoughtfully take serious reading your Word. The difference in the Bible from all other books is that all other books were written for our information. We do not read the Bible to make you scholars. Every other book that's written is given at the information to make me a scholar, to help me understand. My friends, listen. The Bible was not written to give you information. The Bible was written to give you transformation. The purpose of the Bible is to transform you. The purpose of the Bible is to change you, not just give you a bunch of knowledge, but to change your life, to allow it to become a part of who you are. Let me give you three things. Write them down. Those of you got pencil paper, you got it made. Those of you who don't, you're going to have to go to the internet and listen to my sermon again. Okay? Write it down. I'm going to give you three things you ought to ask yourself as you begin to read the Bible. Three things. And I'm going to put more of these details up on the screen as we're just trying something new today. But I just want you to grab it. Number one, are you ready? Get this. Ask yourself as you're about to read the Bible, God, is there a promise in these verses I'm about to read that I can claim in my Christian life? Are there promises in these verses I'm about to read that I can claim in my Christian life? People, do you realize that this book is a book full of promises? Almost everywhere you read, you find a promise from the Word of God. And that promise is different than promise that man makes you. It is a promise that God makes you. God promises that He'll take care of you as His child. God promises He'll provide for you. One of the great things that we have on the back of is removed because of baptism, where God guides, God provides. That's a promise of God, and you can count on it. So many people just do not want to understand the promises of God. You're going through something. Pick up the Word. Lord, is there any promises here today that I can claim into my Christian life? And you will be absolutely amazed at what it's going to say to you. God's promises are sufficient. God's promises will never be broken. And when you read the Bible, look for the promises that God has given as number two. God, not only is there a promise, but God, is there a principle that I can apply in my life? Is there a principle that I can apply in my life? Notice the psalmist said, meditating on God's precepts. You know what the word precept means? It means a mandate. It means a command. The psalmist was describing how he thoughtfully considered the commands of God that God had given to him. When we read the Bible, we should ask ourselves, God, is there something here that you're telling me to do? Does it speak of some sin in your life that you got to get rid of? Is it speaking of something in your life that you got to start doing? Does it tell you something you should do or something you shouldn't do? How should I live my Christian life? What is right? What is wrong? The Bible gives us the answers, my friend. And when you read it, you say, Lord, as I read this passage, I want you to show me any promise in here that I can claim and can give me comfort and peace. And then, Lord, I want you to show me anything in here that I'm to do. I want you to give me wisdom that I can see it in a very powerful way. Remember the words of Moses? Moses said this back in the book of Deuteronomy. He said this, you shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, that it may be well with you, that you may prolong your days in the land which you possess. God speaks to us. God, show me what it is I'm going to do. Now, I confess to you this morning, and most preachers don't do any confessions, but I confess to you this morning that baptism situation, that was nobody's fault but the pastor's fault. Because last night, God spoke to me. And God told me to give Stephanie a call. And God told me that my date on the calendar wasn't right. No, I know it's right. We talked, I know it's right. No, God just wanted to say, I want to keep you from being embarrassed, Bill. You got a baptism tomorrow. Oh, no, God. Don't you know what my iPod says? My iPad, it says it's next Sunday. Well, which is more important, God said. I now listen. People, God does that. And when we don't listen, we miss a blessing. God, what is it that you want me to do? Speak to me, Father, as I read. Secondly, not only are you to read it, and you're looking for a principle and a promise, but you're to read it and say, God, how is it that I'm to pray after I read it? When you read a challenge, and you're hearing what God has got to say to you, it ought to change your prayer life. My prayer life radically gets changed every single day when I read the Word. When I read the Word, God shows me something through that Word that many times becomes my prayer. Sometimes you think about, how do I pray? Let me tell you, you don't have to worry about how you pray. When you read the Word will tell you how to pray. Sometimes the things in which you're reading is your prayer. I love that prayer of Jabez. You ever read that? Awesome book that was written some time ago. Here's what he said in 1 Chronicles. And Jabez called upon God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my coats, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him what he requested. Can you think of a better prayer? Lord, can you just make me grow in you today? Father, will you enlarge my coast? Father, will you show me what it is that will keep me from sinning today, that I will not sin against you? What better prayer can you have? People, when you read the Word, let God show you and move you with that prayer. Man, when I read the account of Mount Carmel, I want to pray, "Oh, Lord, Lord, let fire fall from heaven." When I read these words, it caused me to cry out, to want to see them repeated. When I read the story of Pentecost, I go, "God, send us a revival like took place at Pentecost." When I read these things, they will show you how to pray. And you should read the Bible with recognition that you're reading the Word of God. Therefore, we should read it thoughtfully. Is there a promise, Lord, that you're giving me? Father, is there a command that I'm supposed to obey? Father, is there something here that should inspire me to do the same thing? Yes, it takes a little time to read the Bible. If you start reading your Bible with a purpose, it'll change your Bible reading. It'll be more than a duty, it'll become a delight. It will be more than a daily task, it will become a daily thrill. It will make the Bible come alive. It will make your Bible reading a time when God speaks to your heart. Now, I'm not telling you hours upon hours and hours upon reading. I'm not saying that, people. You don't have to spend that much time for God to hear you. God will speak to you. So read the Bible. You got it? Got it marked down there? Thoughtfully, prayerfully. Let me give you the third one. You need to read your Bible faithfully and obediently. You need to read your Bible faithfully and obediently. The Bible is not just a book to read. My friends, it is a book to obey. James 1:22 says it this way, "Be ye doers of the word and not just hearers only." You got there in Psalm 119. Go down to verse 34, if you will. Listen to what he says in verse 34. "Give me understanding that I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with all my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it." The Bible teaches us that when we read it, we had need to obey it. We need to be faithful in it, but we need to obey it. It is not just something I put in me. It is something that will change me. Let me give you a couple thoughts on this, because this is something I think will help all of us out in our Christian walk. Number one, I think when you and I read the Bible, my friends, we ought to be constantly realizing that what guards my life in this world today is the Bible. That's what guards my life. It is the Bible that helps me to absolutely see the things in my life that I know needs to be changed. It helps me to prevent the things that I know need to be prevented. It is obvious that one of the concerns the psalmist had was, "Lord, keep me clean, keep me unspotted." I had a situation this week that I was really praying, and my wife and I were talking about it, and I was saying, "Lord, give me wisdom in this. Should I do this particular thing, this thing that I was very innocent, very something I knew that, you know, it was part of work and something that I had to do?" And I kept saying, "Lord, just speak to me. Lord, just speak to me." And I didn't get an answer. And I went to my wife and I said, "Sweetheart, what's your thoughts about this? You know, I know it's just something, I know it's just ridiculous, probably just me thinking about something I shouldn't think of." And she goes, "Well, I'm okay. Just whatever God tells you to do with it, that's okay." It wasn't an hour before I was supposed to do something that God just interrupted. And he made it impossible for me to do it because of something else that came up. Now people say, "Well, that was an accident." No, that was God answering my prayer and giving me the answer that I didn't know how to answer. That's what I'm talking about, people. God does that. It is amazing. He wants to guard us. He wants to take care of us. He never wants to put us in positions and situations that we can blow it. He wants to put us in places and situations that will strengthen us. He wants to put us in places and situations that will build us. He wants to put us into a lifestyle that will bring joy and honor and glory to Him. He's telling us, let your shall nots be shall nots. People, the things that God tells you not to do in this word is not because God is a cosmic killjoy. The reason why the things in this word He tells you not to do is because God knows best. Remember that show years ago? Father Knows Best? And that could be a Christian theme for us. Our Father knows best. He knows best through His word. He knows what we should not do, and He will tell us what to His purpose is to protect us. He knows what the consequences and end results of our actions will bring. And when He prohibits something for us to do, can I say this to you in love? It is good. Although you don't like it, it is good. For He sees the future. He knows the future. He wants to guard us. He wants to protect us. He wants to take care of us. But also, not only does He want to guard our life, but my friends, He wants to guide our life. Just as much as you ought to understand the shall nots in His word, my friends, you ought to also understand the shalls. We often think that the Christian life in terms of what we should not do. Can I encourage you to begin to start thinking of the Christian life in the terms of what we should do? I have a theme that God gave me a number of years ago that probably has helped me more than anything else, and that theme is this: if we are busy doing what God called us to do, we'll never have time to do the things that God doesn't want us to do. This book will keep you busy. It'll keep you busy. It'll keep your thought process where it belongs. It'll cause you to do things and act certain ways that you never realized you were supposed to do it. And all of a sudden, the things that you're not supposed to do can't find time for you. That's what I always said. God, I want it to be that when the devil knocks on the door of my life and wants to do something to mess me up, that I don't have time to listen to him. That I didn't even hear him. That I just ignore him. Because I'm too busy doing what you called me to do. I'm too busy being obedient to your word. This past week, 2 weeks ago, Easter. Now, I don't say this to embarrass anybody, but it was awesome when I found out about it this week. We have a singles 2 class upstairs that has a class, and they're studying a book entitled Outlive Your Life. Outlive Your Life, a book written by Max Lucado. And I love Max Lucado and his writing. Awesome book. Awesome book. And the book's whole purpose is that when we're dead, will our life continue to live on? So spend your life doing the things that God has called you to do, because what God tells you to do will last forever. Well, that class has been taking on projects. They have decided, and I've been very, very proud of them, and they've talked to me about it. We've prayed through a lot of things. And that class has decided that they don't want to just read the book and then walk away and say, wow, that was a good book. I really enjoyed it. They decided they want to put the book into action. They want to do the things that the book says, and that is get busy doing God's work. Reach out and touch other people in a powerful way. They've started a little thing now that they're collecting money to send a couple kids to camp, which is awesome. You know, and they're going to send a couple kids to children's camp, which I'm so proud of them for that. But they did something a couple weeks ago that I just thought was great, but I didn't realize how great it really was. They decided to put together some Easter candy baskets. And they called me and they said, Pastor, we've got these Easter candy baskets together, and we want to take them somewhere. Do you have a suggestion for us? Where are there a lot of children that we can pass these candy baskets to? And we said, well, I'll tell you where you can go, guys. If you go up to the apartment complexes that we have here in Loveland. We have one over at MacArthur Park. We have Chapelwood up on West Loveland Avenue. And we have West Main Street. They have a lot of children up there. I mean, you walk through the subdivisions. Today, a lot of our children in the subdivisions are in their house playing video games. And you don't see them out playing around. But you go up the apartment complexes, and you see those kids out there in the playground. They're out there everywhere, dude. I said, go there. They said, Pastor, that's a great idea. They got, I think somewhere, Greg, 80 somewhere around there, about 80 Easter baskets they got. Came in here on a Saturday morning. I was here with them, and they tied them all up, put them all together. I had another commitment, a place I had to go. Got them all tied up, and they took off. I think someone went down to MacArthur Park, and there was a party going on down there. Wasn't it? Some other church was down there doing some kind of an Easter activity, Easter egg hunt or something like that. And I got down there, and there was a whole bunch of children down there. Well, they thought, man, we got them all gathered in one place. We don't even have to go look for them. And they handed out Easter baskets. They went to Easter baskets. Went up to Chapelwood. Started walking around and handing out Easter baskets. Sitting here on the front row, second row of our church right now, was a young lady who made a decision last Sunday. Rededicated her life, came back to the Lord. Sitting here today with her Bible open, pen and pencil, taking notes. Her little girl, wasn't it? Her little boy. Her little boy got an Easter basket by a group of people from a Sunday school class. She found out what church they were from. She'd been good friends with Gina for a long time. She picked up the phone, called Gina. Said, your church stopped by and gave my little boy an Easter basket. I think I'm going to be at church with you Sunday morning. And she came and made a decision and is sitting here today. People, give the Lord a hand. That's fine. That's what we're here for. You see, they decided instead of just reading the Word and using some great material like Max Lucado has written for us in Sunday school form, they decided to live the Word. They decided not to look at the Word as the don'ts they're supposed to do. They decided to look at the Word as the do's that they're supposed to do. And because they were obedient, a life was changed. A life was changed. How are you reading the Bible? The greatest book that was ever written. A Gallup poll survey indicated that there 92% of Americans own at least one copy of the Bible. Of those households, that was 92% of Americans, out of those households, the average number in the of Bibles in a home today is 3. People, I do not care if you own 100. If you do not read it, it doesn't matter how many Bibles you own. If the only time you ever open this precious book is when the pastor has you hold it up, what a tragedy. You've been asking God about something for a long time and you haven't heard an answer? Maybe it caused the whole time the answer's been right here. And God says, how do you expect me to speak to you if you're not listening to my word? You've been asking God what to do in a major decision in your life. Have you been reading the word? Because he'll tell you what to do. He'll spell it out to you. You want to know how to become the kind of Christian that God wants you to become, then my friends, read this word prayerfully. Read this word thoughtfully and read this word faithfully and obediently. And if you will read the word, you'll find out what it is that God wants you to do. The word. I close with this thought. The word says that if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you'll never understand the word. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man shall come unto the Father except through me. That's the word. I didn't make up the rules. It's not New Hope Baptist Church rules. It's the word. You cannot go to heaven. You cannot have your sin forgiven. You cannot be right with God unless you go through Jesus Christ. That's all you need to know about the word right now. If you're not a Christian here today, We're going to invite you in a few moments when we sing our invitation to come and say, Pastor Bill, I want to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to get saved today. I want to begin to read the Word. I want to begin to live my life according to the Word. I want to do what you've called me to do. If you don't know Christ today, in a few moments, I want you to come. If you're a Christian here today, my whole goal for these next 8 weeks in this instruction manual is to help you change your life, change my life. I want to be different. I want to be different every Sunday. I want to learn what it means to mature and grow and to be the kind of Christian that God's called me to be. Because a lot of people are depending upon it. Not just us, but others are wanting us to act like we're supposed to be. And they're waiting. And they're asking the question, where have the Christians been? Oh, they've been hiding in their building. Where's the Christians been? Oh, they pick up their manual and read it. Only when the preacher has them do it. And then they leave it at church and forget about it. Where are they? Bible says go. 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 You'd know that if you were reading the Word. Let us pray. Our heads bowed. As God may be speaking to you today, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus Christ that if the Lord has spoken to you about something, that you'll come and do it. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to come. If you've never been saved, I encourage you, step out and come and do what God's called you to do. Be obedient. If you're a Christian here today, and you're not reading the Word the way you should. You're not really prayerfully, thoughtfully, faithfully reading the Word. And God has said to you, change it. I didn't bring you to church today to entertain you. He said, I brought you to church today to speak to you. Change it. You want to be different? Then listen to me. Change it. God's speaking to you today. The purpose of this invitation is for you to obey. Father, as we come to you today, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for the many blessings you've given us. We thank you, Father, for watching over us, taking care of us, providing for us. But most of all, Father, for speaking to us in your Word. We love your Word so much. Father, may this be the beginning of the step of the direction that we're going to go in our Christian life. This is where we have to start. It doesn't matter how long we've been Christians, God. It doesn't even matter how good we are as Christians. We need to get better. We never totally mature to finality until we get to heaven. Show us, Father. Show us. And we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' wonderful name we ask it. Amen.